wrote, Roman Tzimetos Sotam Umchemheim, Samachokis Rishonim, we turn to it today. And then we discussed last time what happens if we have a Shochet who clearly is not part of that Rov, currently, and he's forgotten Hilchot Shchita, how do we relate to his Shchita retroactively? And then we have other individuals who, because of their personal status, also have issues in terms of being a Shochet. And here in Sif Beis, the Machaber speaks about the Cheresh Shote Vekatan that we know from all over Shas, that these are individuals who lack Das, and the question is, how does that impact on their Shchita? So let's first just deal with definitions. Definition of a Cheresh is a Mishnah in Trumos, in the second Perek, that a Cheresh, as spoken of by Chazal, is a deaf mute, an individual who cannot speak and who cannot hear. However, we move over to the definition of a Shote, that is much more complicated. I sent you to the Sugya on Daf Gimel Amud Beis through Dalet Amud Aleph in Chagiga, where over there we have a Machlokes Amorayim as to whether we require that a Shote have four particular areas in which he is let's call him anormal. No, he is not what we call behaving in a normative manner. And we need, according to one Manda Amar, that he be a Shota in all of these areas, a Shota b'chol derachav, or according to Rav Yochanan, it's enough if he's a Shota in any one of the four areas that are mentioned over there in the Gemara. To understand, and this is the Psak Halacha, the Rosh in Chulin, in Perek Aleph, Siman Dalet, says we paskin like Rav Yochanan. But what exactly does Rav Yochanan mean? That's a Machlokes Rishonim. Tosus over there at Chagiga says that the moment that we see that in one area he is clearly a Shote, so Vada Yesh Lahachziko, we have the right to assume that in other areas he is a Shota as well. Namely, we're talking about, we don't know other aspects of his behavior, so that was obvious to us, he's a Shota. We'll assume that in other areas he's also a Shota. However, according to Tosos, if we were to know that this is his only area, this is his quirk, he has a quirk in one particular area, but everything else he does normally, then according to Tosos, he would not be a Shota. He would be considered to be a Pikeach. That is a Shita of Tosos. However, there is a Shita of the Rambam.
And
Daf Gimel Amud Beis.
That if we knew that in other areas?
He says it's only because. Namely, basically, you have to be a Shota in all areas. But we don't have to necessarily check out all four areas.
If you take Chazaka, if he just does one.
All right, that's the Chazaka. So the understanding in Tosos is that if we were to know that that's not the case, that this is simple, he likes to sleep in a coffin. You know, that's he feels, you know, it's comforted by the walls on both sides. It gives him security. But everything else, he's totally normal. So then he's a pikeach. That doesn't turn him into a shote. However, the Rambam, in a very, very well-known Rambam, in Perek Tes, Hilchos Eidus, Halucha Tes, says, Hashote posel yedus min haTorah lefi she'eno ben mitzvos, v'lo shote shu mahalech arom u'meshaber kelim v'zorek avonim bilvad. Ela kol mi shenitrefa da'ato, v'nimtzeis meshubeshet tamid bidavar min hadvarim. If in one area he is totally off his rocker, af al pishu medaber b'shoel k'inyan b'shar devarim. But aside from that one area, he is totally communicative, makes sense, etc. Hareze pasul ubichlal shotim yechashev. That this is the way this is the psak of Rav Yochanan Aliba de Rambam, and this of course raises an issue because the Rambam then continues in that same halacha and deals with the Gemara that many of us know from Rosh Hashanah on Daf Kafches Amid Beis, the concept of itim shote v'itim cholim. A person who goes in and out of episodes of shtut, and the Gemara paskins that when he's behaving like a shote, we'll treat him like a shote. When he's behaving like a pikeach, we'll treat him as a pikeach. And if we have such an individual who is married, and his wife wants a divorce, and clearly it's in her best interest, we will wait for him to return to a period of what we call normalcy, and at that time, he can give the get, even though before he was a shota and after he's a shota. This is a sugya that many of us also know from Ksuvis and of Chaf Amar Aleph of Bar Shatya, that there was such an individual. He was called Bar Shatya. He was called the individual who had this trait of shtut, and that his, in terms of the kinyanim, he was a he was a real estate dealer. So in terms of the kinyanim, when he was a pikeach, the kinyanim were valid. When he was a shota, the kinyanim were invalid. And the Rambam again brings this as the continuity when he deals with the person who is a nichpa, that which we would call an epileptic. So when he's having a fit, so then he is not able to think straight, and then is, you know, words, he'd be posuliatus. But when he is not having a fit, he's totally normal. Then he'd be kasheratus. The Rambam in Hilchos Mechira I sent you to brings his din of itim cholim ve'itim ve'itim shote.
Does that apply to women too? Divorce woman who goes in there.
Yes, yes, yes. Right, you're 100% correct. May not remember, correct, but if they received the divorce when they were saints, so then the divorce can take effect. Afterwards, we'll have to deal with it. You're 100% correct. It's an issue. The problem is, though, a little deeper, and that is, where exactly do we draw the line between a shota ledovar echad and an itim shota itim cholim? And is not just a purely theoretical question, but is a very, very practical question that has a history in the world of Hilchos Gittin. So in Hilchos Gittin and Eben HaEzer and Siman Kuf Kaf Aleph Sif Gimel, there the Machaber Paskins, Mishuhu Itim Cholim V'Itim Shota, Kishuhu Cholim, when he's what we call a Pikeach, Harayoku Pikeach Chol Devarim, Im Giresh Be'osa Shoa Gito Get. Okay? And on one hand, so we have that psak, and then we move a little further down in Siman Kuf Kaf Aleph in the Beis Shmuel, who is the super commentary on the Mechaber. So in the end of Sif Tes, there he quotes Rav Yochanan. He quotes the din of Rav Yochanan, namely that it's enough to be a shota in one area. Pasuk of Beis Yosef, Dav Kahani Simanim, etc. And Pasuk of Rosh, Afilu Echad Me'asimanim, Osa Derech Shtut, Hu Shota. And it doesn't have to be Dafka, one of those four. Any one thing that he does Derech Shtut, he would be a Shota. So in the Pisrei Tshuva, yes?
What's Derech Shtus?
What are the examples?
No, like what does it mean when somebody's doing something Derech Shtus?
That there is.
If
this, and again, he has an issue in terms of his security. So some people hold a blanket. Would you call someone who holds a blanket when he goes to sleep a shota? No, he needs a security blanket. So for this person, the fact that he, when he moves to the left and moves to the right, he bumps into a wall, that gives him his security.
There's a story about Chaim that once woke up from he was learning in the oven.
How would Rabbi describe Derech Shtus? Derech Shtus would be that he would go to sleep every night in the Beis Olam, in the cemetery, and you know where it's and you ask why in the cemetery, and he says that
it's quiet.
You know where it's okay, it's quiet, no, it's dark. There's no one bothers me.
I mean. Talking with his
relatives,
okay,
that's what you call a derech shtus. So I'll give you an example of an area that is unclear. 100% clear, 100% correct. This is a very, very unclear area, and I passed out there. I hope that you received the page. We'll come to it in a minute. In other words, that in the Pisrei Tshuva at the end of Sif Beis, it says, "V'od de'ira kvar uvda kazos bedoros shelefanenu, v'nitpas al zeh shnei sfarim or hayashar v'or Yisrael." This was Rav Arkefet's master's thesis on what was called the Get of Cleves. That after the Tkufa of this is what tore apart totally European Jewry, basically led to the emancipation, the reform, etc., etc. that the world of Shabtai Tzvi was ma'arer very much the Jewish community in Europe, where they weren't sure who was who, and we know that there were those that accused Rabbi Yonasan Eifshitz of being a Shabtaiist, like it was very terrible. And then came about this situation where in the town of Cleves, which is a town in northern France, there was a shidduch that was made between a gvir who had a daughter and a very promising young man. And this promising young man was fine and good at the wedding. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of Sheva Brachos, he just disappeared. He disappeared. And he showed up 2 days later as though nothing had happened. Just continuing his life as normal. He missed 2 days of Sheva. Like, everyone was searching for him. And then again, a week later, he just disappears. And then he shows up a few days later as though nothing happened. And this continues. And the father of the guru realizes something is basically wrong here. And he explains to the young man that, he'll pay the young man whatever he wants, just that this young man give his daughter a divorce, get out of her life, and v'chulei. The young man said, okay. He understands that people kind of are turned off a bit by this behavior of his. And so they went to Rav Avram Eibush, who was the Rav of Frankfurt the Main, which was the largest closed city, to be Mesider the Get. And Rav Avram Eibush said, I can't be Mesider the Get because this person cannot give a get, because he's a Shotel Adavar Echad. This is exactly the Rambam's case, where you have an individual who does one thing without any explanation at all. And we would view this as a shtut, but in every other area he's medaber kedarko, and I can't give the get. And all the rabbanim of Europe, the father, blew up. All the rabbanim of Europe said the Rav Avraham Eibush is wrong. This is not a shote l'davarecha. This is itim shalim, chalim itim shote. He's going in and out. Sometimes he's a shote when he runs away. When he comes back, he's a pikeach. So as long as he's with us, he can give a get. And again, this machlokas tore apart the Jewish community. There were those who sided with Avraham Eibush, and they wrote a sefer. And those who were against him wrote a sefer. He had a sefer Or Yashar and a sefer Or Yisrael, who sees the real light. Ugaone Frankfurt de Main paslu get kazeh. Hagedolam asher b'medina kulam chalku aleihem. And there's a whole tshuva frayim, back and forth. Gemaisa, the bottom line is that this girl, She was a tzaddikah. She said, we went to Rav Avraham Eibush. He says, I can't get divorced. I'll live with the fellow. She didn't. She refused to get a get because of her emunas chachamim. She remained married to this individual for the rest of her life. Her father was going bananas, but she said, what can I do?
What? He kept doing that his whole life?
Yeah.
He kept just disappearing periodically?
Yeah, yeah. That was, and again, the question, how do we define that? And you realize you can look at it from, it's like, those silhouettes that you look at and see a human being, and you look at it and you can see a jug. It depends how you're looking at it. And so Rav Shechter, when he tells this story over, he loves this story. He says that when Rav Avraham Eibush died, the community in Frankfurt the Main decided they're not going to take any Rav who wrote a tshuva against their Mara D'Asra. And they couldn't find someone to replace him because every gadol had written against Rav Avraham Eibush until they got to Galicia, and there they found the Baal Hafla, Rav Pinchas Horovitz, who was actually 24 years old. Right? In other words, he was a Galicianer, 24 years old. He took him to be the Rav of Frankfurt the Main in Germany because he didn't write a tshuva. And Rav Pinchas later on tells us, after he took the job, he says he really did write a tshuva against Rav Avraham Eibush, but at that time every person had on his table two little wells, one that contained ink and the other that contained sawdust. And after they would write with their quill and ink, they would take the sawdust and pour it over to dry it out, that it shouldn't smear. And accidentally, when he wrote his tshuva, he picked up the well of ink and poured it on. And so he took it as a siman hashamayim that he should not rewrite the tshuva. So he never rewrote the tshuva, and that's how he became the Rav of Frankfurt the Main at the age of 24 from Galicia, the Baal Hafla. So in any case, these are real issues. What do we do exactly
it was worse that he was written tshuva than he was a Galiciana.
you can take it any way you want. Yeah. If you mention to Rabbi Kefet that you heard about the Get of Cleves, he'll hug you and he'll ask you whether you read his monograph and anyway, he wrote it up very nicely. What?
He referenced it once the other day, but he didn't say the story.
There used to be a publication before Jewish Action. You realize is from the middle of it's from the late 1980s. I should say before that was something called Jewish Life. People lived. They weren't action. They lived. Then, you know, it turned out that you can't sell a magazine, Jewish Life. So they changed the name to Jewish Action. So when it's still called Jewish Life, it was a magazine of, serious, of the OU. So then he had this published in one of the editions. And I think he has these collections, Rakafot Aharon, that were put out by the Russian Baal Tshuva, Shvut Ami.
I saw a copy in Harnof, actually.
So in one of them, it's in the compilation. In any case, Rav Moshe has a tshuva on this matter, which is one of the first tshuvas that Rav Moshe wrote. Tuf Resh Pei Tet. This is 1929. So Rav Moshe is still in Lubyan. And if you read the tshuva, it's fascinating. There was this individual who, when he was younger, thought he was Mashiach and began to behave the way he thought Mashiach should behave. Namely, he would climb trees, and he would call out to everyone what they should be doing. He'd walk around naked like Adam before the chait. He would grab things from people that he felt they shouldn't have. In other words, that he felt he had to be metakein the world in his own unique way. And this went on for a while, and then it stopped, and he became a malamed. And he taught for a while, and like he was normal, and he was like a little depressed, but he was basically normal, and he got married. And after he got married, then something clicked in his mind, and he went back to the trees and the, you know, Tarzan, etc. And for a period of 8 years, and then 2 years, he went back to Nossi. He was like living by his father, he worked in the fields, and spoke, and everything was fine. So the woman's family ran to Rav Moshe. It's 2 years that he's normal. You know, it's can you get him to give our daughter / sister, etc., a get? So Rav Moshe, this Shalom moved into Rav Moshe's house, and Rav Moshe the whole time was watching him and talking to him, etc. And he saw that he was behaving very, very normally. And he asked the fellow, "Are you willing to give your wife a get?" And the fellow said, "No, I don't want to give her a get. We're married. Why should I give her a get? Well, I'm happy with her." It's he spoke normally, like a person, you know, like didn't want to get divorced. So Rav Moshe spoke to him about, you know, it's the fact that there are these issues, etc. And people, and he agreed to give the get. Okay, and so Rav Moshe gave the get, and then this fellow told Rav Moshe afterwards, "By the way, you should just know that I really still think I am Mashiach. I just don't no longer behave the way I behaved previously because it didn't help. I'm not going to be attacking the world by behaving in a way no one's going to listen to me. But, you know, deep in my heart, I really still have not changed my belief of who I am, etc." So Rav Moshe wrote a whole tshuva why he felt that the get that he gave was valid. So first he quotes the Shita of Tosfos that if a person has a quirk, right, he thinks that but everything else is normal. So, such a person is not a shote, right? In other words, he's only a shote if we don't know about the rest of his personality. But if we see that this is one thing, one area, but everything else is normal, he's not called a shote. Then he brings the Rambam, right? And that this person is a shote because in this one area, he's off the wall, and that's enough, according to the Rambam, to make him a shote. Then he quotes the Tzvua Shor. He says, really, the Rambam agrees with Tosfos. But Ramesh says, come on. I'm not going to go in that direction. It's a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam. But Becholzot, I have a solution. Based on my solution, I am going to give a get, even according to the Rambam. And Rav Moshe comes up over here with a gevaldige chiddush. He says as follows. He says, there are two issues that we have with this Rambam, like giving a shir in teaching Sanhedrin, giving a shir. Why is this Rambam that defines a shota in Hilchos Eidus? Hilchos Eidus is the very, very end of a Mishneh Torah, right? That has B'li Ayin Hara 14 volumes. It's the last volume. The definition of a shota is necessary for Hilchos Trumos, Hilchos Gerushin, Hilchos Kedush, Hilchos Mechachu Memkar. Why did the Rambam wait to define shota? He should do it the first time he mentioned shota in Hilchos Zrayim. Let him mention the din of a shota, that he, you know, it's that he can't be mafresh trumos and maestros. That's where the Mishnayos have it. Right? Why wait until Hilchos Edus? Secondly, if when I quoted the Rambam, if you were listening with a good ear, you would say Rambam says Hashota pasul leedus min haTorah l'fi she'eino ben mitzvos. The shota is pasul because he's not a ben mitzvos. Why is the shota pasul for edus? He's not a bardas. Why did the Rambam change the language of all of the poskim of the Gemaras? Chayre shota v'kota, they lack das. Why did the Rambam say she'eino bar mitzvos? Those are two very good questions. One of them, you know, where it's the second one, the Eino Bar Das, was already asked by the Kesef Mishnah, Lecha Mishnah, etc. So what's the Chiddush of Rav Moshe? He said, B'chol HaTorah Kula, the Rambam agrees with Tosfos. Namely, that if a person just has one juke in his mind, but otherwise he behaves normally, barer that he's a Ben Das. Barer that his Kinyanim are Kinyanim, and his Kedushin is Kedushin, and his Ged is a Ged, etc., etc. The Rambam over here is speaking specifically about Hilchos Edus. The Rambam is saying, in terms of Hilchos Edus, we have a different criteria. Why? Because an Ed is only valid, we're going to learn this in Sanhedrin, if we have the possibility of having a counterweight to the Ed. Namely, that there's an Iser of Lo Sa'ane, if he lies, that there is Kasher Zomam. He has to be a Bar HaZomam. He has to be a check and a balance on his edus. He has to have what to lose if he lies. And this shote ledavar echad, according to Rav Moshe, is not, he's a bardas. He is a bardas. His get is a get, and his kedushin are kedushin. He's not a bar mitzvos. Because if there's any area where his shtut interferes with a mitzvah, let's say, for example, you have an individual that every day at 4 in the afternoon lies on the floor, thinks he's a dog, and insists on drinking milk from a plate every day. Other than that, he's a CEO of a company, right? And he owns half of New York, v'chulei. But at 4 in the afternoon, he's going to lie down on the floor, woof woof woof, and he's going to insist on getting his bowl of milk. Such a person cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah midoraisa to fast on Yom Kippur. He can't fast on Yom Kippur because at 4 in the afternoon he's going to go crazy until he gets his milk. So once, says Rav Moshe, once he is mufka from one mitzvah, he's basically mufka from tayag mitzvah. So there's no such thing as an individual who's only mufka from one mitzvah. It means that because of his situation, he's an eino ben mitzvos, and therefore lo sa'ana doesn't apply to him, the din of kasher zomam, so he can't be an aid. All the Rambam is telling us is that this person who has this one area where he is illogical, the Torah can't apply to him. And therefore, kinyanim he can make. He's a human being. He can make kinyanim. He can get married. He can get divorced, etc. But he's pasul le'edus, hashote pasul le'edus min haTorah, fishu eino ben mitzvos. And not the shotu's mahalech arom, etc. He's not a ben das. Certainly he's no good for edus. But we're talking about a person, of nitrifa daito mishubeshet tamid b'dover min hadvarim. Even though in other areas he's fine, hareze pasul ubechal hashotim yechashef legabe edus. That's Rav Moshe's einfal. And on that basis, he said there's no stira between the Rambam and Tosfos. Rambam also agrees with Tosfos. B'chol haTorah kula, he's a ben das. In terms of edus, he has a specific issue. And even though the Rambam, Rav Moshe knows the Toras Gittin, the Baal HaNesivos, who was a tremendous posek, black and white says not like that. Black and white says that the Rambam is talking even about Gittin v'Kedushin, but he says I hold of my svara, and on that basis he gave the get. And then he, just one second, I just finished. Then he gave a whole bunch of snifim, and the snifim are fascinating. He says, first, the snifim means that he's not, in other words, they're not enough on their own to be matir the get, but they help in terms of building the case. So one thing is, he said, that who says thinking you're Mashiach is a shtud? This person has a certain perspective on life. Would we say that a communist is a shota? Would we say that an oved avodah zara is a shota. An Oved Avodah Zarah, that's crazy. Bows down to a totem pole. I mean, you know, how much sillier can you get? Right? Anyways, but if a person has a certain worldview, that's not called a shota. So over here, this person really, even according to the Rambam, maybe this is not a shota. That's fascinating, you know, where it's approach. Namely, it's not, you know, we don't say anyone, a person who is open Orthodox, would he be called a shota because he's open Orthodox? That's his worldview, right? That's I say this year, when I learned this few years ago, I would say, person who's orthoprax, right? In other words, that you know, it doesn't make sense. There's a lack of consent, but that's his worldview, that his Judaism is in terms of doing things, not in terms of believing, okay? So, in other words, you can have different situations where you're not a shota at all. B, maybe that this case is like the get of Cleves. Maybe this person is not a shota l'davar echad, but he's in and out. Namely, it depends on his behavior. When he behaves on the trees, then he's an itim shota. When he comes down from the trees, then he's an itim chalim. What?
Something tells you that he really believes.
Okay. So that okay, but maybe. But a person who tells you, if I tell you I dream that I'm Superman, I don't jump out the window. But I really dream that I'm Superman. I really feel this. In other words, you call me a shota. I behave normally. I just have this feeling that Baruch Hashem, I'm not near kryptonite, and I can keep walking around. It's, in other words, but I don't behave. I don't do anything. But I have these beliefs.
There's a quality of this, someone who believes in the Torah and Har Sinai, and someone believes I'm Gadol Hador, but no one else believes it.
You don't know how many people there are like that. You're going to pass a lot of people for ages if on that basis. Okay, and then there's a daya that we didn't mention, that maybe a shota is only one of the four categories mentioned in Maseches Chagiga, the tearing of the clothes and the lam beis olam. That's such a daya, right? So there is such a daya. And then there's a Tkua Shor, who said that the Rambam is just a figment of our imagination, really doesn't exist, really he agrees with Tosfos all along. And then this is Makom Iguin, this poor woman. So for all of these snifim, Rav Moshe said, I'm holding by my chiddush. But his chiddush is a very fascinating chiddush, yes?
It's kind of difficult that the Rambam doesn't describe anywhere in his Mishnah Torah what to show that the Gavay not being by that.
Correct. But I mean, so in a chinami, but it could be that's the definition of a shota. Namely, it's simply everyone knows what a shota is. The chiddush of the Rambam is that in Hilchos Eidus we have a more a broader definition for a different. I in other words, it's not like, you know, where it's like you have to say wow, you know, it's, but you say hey, you know. So, I mean, just I gave a shiur this summer in a certain community and they asked me about women getting smicha. That's, you know, everyone gets to ask these questions. Right? So I tried to explain to them that smicha is not only a recognition of a person's learning. It's not like a certificate that this person learned Yoredeya. I mean, and then if a woman learned Yoredeya, there's no reason why she shouldn't get the certificate. If a man would get it, why shouldn't the woman get it? Smicha means that you have the right to be one of the Balei HaMasorah. You have the right to paskin. And when you read these tshuvas of Rav Moshe, you understand what does it mean to be a posek, what achrayus it is. You're dealing over here with a woman who is stuck, and Rav Moshe feels that this is, you know, that he can be matir her with this overview of Torah, this overview of, and come up with you know, you need broad shoulders to have such a, and that's when you're giving someone smicha, you're basically saying that this individual has that ability. And that requires more than just learning Yoredeya. So if you ask me, so why should everyone, why you get smicha for learning Yoredeya? That's a good question. But you know, where it's, but you know, where it's, but I would hope that they would have the anava that if they don't know a certain area, they would call up, you know, with this posek or that posek, and they would know their own limits. But the moment that you begin to break down traditions, then people lose a sense of their limits, right? You said like, You know, it's what people think they're a gadol hador. Yeah, people think that if they know how to use a computer, they're a gadol hador because they can access all the shelos and tshuvos, and then they can write it. You know, put together a bar ilan tshuva, and that makes them into a gadol hador because they have this well footnoted tshuva. That's not what it means. Okay, that's just an aside.
Briefly,
That in the world, b'chol haTorah kula, in the world of kinyanim, where you require da'as, da'as makne, da'as kone, this individual who is totally normal except for one quirk is a bar da'as. The Rambam would agree that he is a bar da'as. What the Rambam says is that he's not a bar mitzvot, because mitzvah is a package deal. And if this person, if a person doesn't have an arm, he can't put on tefillin, he's still a bar mitzvos, anas rachmana patre. But if this person, in his mind, brings himself to patering himself from a mitzvah, because of his shtut, brings himself to patering himself from a mitzvah, he's basically patering himself from kol haTorah kula. He's an eno bar mitzvos. And a person who's an eno bar mitzvos cannot be an aid, because there's no check and balance on his edus. There's no aveira of lo sa'aneh. There is no kasher zomam. That the, in other words, and without that check and balance, you can't be an aid. That's halacha. That if there's no possibility of hazama, then you can't be an aid. Okay. Tov. Okay. So we spoke about a cheresh for a brief moment. We spoke about a shota a little longer, and now we come to the world of katan. Okay. So what we have to work off of is a rush. Oh yes, certainly. I'm sorry. There is a very, very special psychiatrist named Dr. Klapfer, who is, I believe, lives in Cincinnati, of all places. Yeah, lives in Cincinnati. He's a real frum individual who has a seichel hayashar, and he points out just that when we want to define a shote, we can't use definitions from the, what is it called, that book that comes out every once in a while? DSM now it's number 5. Okay, we can't use a DSM number 5 and say that the following diagnoses, schizophrenia, or bipolar or autism, that's the realm of no chas v'shalom. It's nothing to do with psychiatric definitions. It has to do with what he calls over here mentally incompetent. It could come from any one of, it gives a whole list of it could come from a stroke, could come from a brain tumor, a head trauma, mental retardation, intoxication, psychotic, etc., v'chule, v'chule. Namely, that the halacha simply says, we don't care why this person is a shote. The bottom line is that he is a shote. And then, even if a person has a certain diagnosis, in other words, it can change. In other words, and that's the itim cholim, itim shota. Okay, so simply you should know as rabbis. Let's say that you have a young man in your shul, and before in this world, before Yemos HaMashiach, Kosh Baruch Hu is sending all sorts of pure neshamos in kelim shvurim, and so you have individuals who have all sorts of issues. Doesn't mean a shota. If you can talk to them and explain to them, and they understand what davening is, and they understand. The Kavod HaTorah, etc. They can count as a minion. You know, a shota is not part of a minion. He's Eino Bar Das. But most people nowadays are not in this category of shota. Okay, that's
where's this from?
I have no idea where I found it. Okay. I have no idea. From the age of the page, it appears that I photostated this about 10, 15 years ago. But I really don't remember where I photostated it from. It could be, I'm not sure. In other words, Rabbi Taubes, who is the principal of MTA, Michael Taubes, he, it's very fascinating. He has a son, he viewed the Rav like the Rav. And he had a son after the Rav died who he called Yosef Dov, for whom he had great ambitions. And this son is an autistic child. Like really, really seriously, in other words, in the syndrome, he's very, very, very uncommunicative. And for the bar mitzvah of Yosef Dov, he put out a booklet on mental incompetency in terms of defining a shota. So it could be that this was, in other words, in that booklet that he put out to try and help define. There is this organization called Nefesh International that of psychiatrists and psychologists and social workers who deal with who deal with the whole world of emotional competency, I don't know what to call it. In other words, helping individuals, refuas hanefesh, as opposed to refuas haguf. And they meet. In other words, they have conventions, etc. And they write to one another. So, or it could be that he wrote an article on the internet. I just don't remember. I'm sorry. Baruch Hashem, forgetting doesn't turn a person into a shota. Turns him into an Enobaki Vishrita, but it doesn't turn him into a shota. Okay, Kosh Baruch Hu should give me help, and along with all of those who are forgetting. Okay, where were we holding? Yeah, okay, we were holding back Katan. Okay. It's always nice. That's what, one of the beautiful things about being in yeshiva. You're always surrounded by young people. Okay. So, not that you're Katanim, but that you're younger. It's nice. So in Perek Aleph of Chulin, in Siman Dalet, after the Rosh Paskins like Rav Yochanan by the Shote, then he points out that a Katan has a concept of Chinuch. And when the Katan moves in the world of Chinuch, then he can be Shochet L'chatchila with the Godol Omed Al Gabov. Katan Mumche V'yodea La'amin Es Yadov. He was taught Hilchos Shchita, and he practiced Hilchos Shchita. Then Shochet L'chatchila Kishe Godol Omed Al Gabov. It's a Gemara in Sukkah. Katan Hayodea L'shmor Tfilin, Aviv Konelo Tfilin. By the Teimanim, they can put on Tfilin already at the age of 8 or 9. In other words, that the moment they know that their parents feel that they can treat the Tfilin properly, they put on Tfilin. We Ashkenazim, we don't trust anyone, including ourselves, so a month before Bar Mitzvah, right, we put on Tfilin. Hayodea L'shchot, Mutar Le'echol Mishchitato. Amarav Huna V'hushe Godol Omed Al Gabov. Okay, so when you have that combination of a katan who knows Hilchos Shchita, namely he's a bar chinuch, it's a katan shi'igia l'chinuch, then along with the gadol omed al gabav, he can be shochet l'chatchila. We just need, and we'll see why in a minute, we need the gadol omed al gabav. Comes along the hagos ashri, v'yim en gadol omed al gabav, that same katan, the same katan, but he shechted benoga ben atzmo without the gadol omed al gabav, shchitaso psula, af al gavda mumche v'yodea la'amin es yadav, mei or zarua. Okay? So we have over here that when we have the two factors, namely the katan is knowledgeable and a gadol omed al gabav, he shochet l'chatchila. If one of those factors is missing, right, then it's puzzle. That's what we find in Hilchos Shchita, in the Machaber and the Ramah. The Machaber Paskins in Siman Aleph Sifei, Im Katan Yodea La'amed Es Yadav, Im Acherim Omdim Al Gabav, Shochet L'chatchila. And you can eat from the Shchita. Says the Ramah, Avolam Shachat Beino Lebein Atzmo, this Katan didn't wait for the Godol to come, he shechted first, then Shchita So Psula, Afal Pishi Yodea Hilchos Shchita, source, Hagolos Ashri, Reish Perikama. Okay? So, our problem is not with the Machaber and the Ramah. Our problem is with the Tur. The Tur says, when you have a Katan, Sheyodea La'amin Es Yadav, and he's a Mumche, and there's a Godol Omed Al Gabav, he can be Shochet L'chatchila, quotes the Rosh. And when there's no Godol Omed Al Gabav, he can be Shochet B'dieved. Namely, not like that Hagos Ashri and the Ramah, that when there's no Godol Omed Al Gabav, it's possible. You know, he says, it's good, but it's good B'dieved. And so everyone screams at the Tur, how can you possibly say that? That the Taz over here, B'tur kasimu mumche uman kosher b'dieved b'lo acherim v'kosheli lama yiye katan ne'eman al hashchita. Sof, where did we begin this year? We pointed out that behema b'chaye b'cheskas isur omedet. We need edus that this animal moved from being osur to being kosher. We pointed out maybe Eid Echad Nemavisurim is not even enough. Maybe we need even beyond that. Maybe we need 2 Eidim because it's a Schazik Yisura. But the Katan is Pasul Eidus. The Katan has no Ne'emanus. So if the Katan has no Ne'emanus and he Shochet Be'noga Be'natzmo, how could the Tur Paskin that we can eat that meat, B'dievet? That's a powerful question. You understand that a Katan is not an Isha. An Isha is psula le'edus, but she has ne'emanus. An isha can't stand on a witness stand stand because we have Gzeiras HaKasa V'amdu Shnei HaAnoshim. A man can be a witness, not a woman. But a woman is ne'emenet in Isurim. Eidecha ne'emam Isurim. A woman, we eat in kitchens. Most of us are, actually most of us, I don't go into a kitchen. I have no idea what goes in. My wife tells me the food is kosher. I'm somech on her. Right? In the world of Hilchos Nida, we're somech on a wife. These are Isurim Chamurim, Isurim of Kares, etc. A woman has ne'emonis. A katan doesn't have ne'emonis. A katan isn't just pasul edus. There's no din of ne'emonis by a katan. So how do we understand the tour? So here the Taz comes up with a brilliant understanding, which we will say, it'll be an ah moment. The Taz says that we have a concept of rov mitzumetzel shchita, and the tour takes that one step further. Not only does rov mitzumetzel shchita mean that most shochtim know what they're doing, it also means that most animals that are shechted properly. That's all in this rov. We have this rov mitzumetzel shchita mumchim hem. And he says this according to Tosfos and the Rashba. No, what would you say? Can one apply rov mitzumetzel shchita mumchim hem to be machshir a katan? What should it depend upon? If rov we had a chakira, what is rov mitzumetzel shchita mumchim hem based on? Is it based on the world of chazakos, psychological chazakos, that people don't get involved in things that are complicated, and if they are involved in kind of way, they know what they're doing, so then that can apply to the katan as well. That's a psychological reality, that even katanim generally don't get involved in things that they don't know what's going on. But a cheskas kashrus, that is something that a katan doesn't have. A cheskas kashrus requires a certain level of yirat shamayim that doesn't have a Yetzer Hatov yet. He has only a Yetzer Hara. So this is, that's what the, if you look in the Shach over here, the Shach says, Kein hu bo'or zarua, namely that the katan is pasul, v'agos ha-shrivatam kosvu ha-ra'o v'bedek ha-bayis ein ne'emonos le-katan. Namely, according to the, this is Mahokis between the Ra'o and the Rashba. And the Tosas we saw was like the Rashba. That if we're dealing with a psychological rov, then it's possible, not saying it's muchrach, but it's possible to apply that psychological rov to a katan. You could distinguish. You could say, no, katanim do dangerous things. A katan will go into a car and begin driving even though he doesn't have a license because he saw his parents drive, right? In other words, that he doesn't... So you could say that it doesn't, in other words, but it's an open question. But a cheskas kashrus, that doesn't apply to a katan. A katan is not a yirei shamayim. Katan doesn't understand the world of Torah u'mitzvos. In other words, he's not opposed to being matrif, giving someone the velos u'treifos. It's simply not in his realm. So if we learn the rov like the ra'ah, it certainly can't help the katan. Like Tosas and the Rashba, it could help the katan. Okay, so just be, you know, this is one of those nafkaminas. Okay, so then we have over here the shita of the tour, very dochuk, no one paskins like it, we have to try and understand it. And then we have the explanation of the tour given by the Taz, and the Shach points out that's fine according to the Rashba and Tosas, but it's not going to hold according to the Ra'ah. But then the Shach continues. Yeah.
So here, though, he's saying we can align a cotton even though we can't rely on Rova, Ben Adam,
so you need
to
fit the motion. He says, Kevon de hu yodea umumche, I'm reading Mistama hu shachat, Vishapir shachat, Kain nirali l'da'a satur, Shuv ra'iti kain b'mishmeres habayis, that this is the Rashba, right? In other words, that he's quoting the Rashba, the Shach, to explain the Ramah, quotes the Ra'ah, namely that the Machokas Tur and Ramah is a Machokas Rashba and Ra'ah. The Rashba is like Tosos, that it's we're dealing with a psychological rove. The Ra'ah holds we're dealing with a Cheskas Kashrus. But then the Shach over here in Sifkot on Kaf Zayin says, Udelo Kamosha Dochak Teres Zahav. In other words, the reason that the Ramah, says that without a gadol omed al gabav, the shechita is possible, is not like the levush. Namely, the reason that the shach gave is that the katan has no ne'emonos. That's the real reason. But the levush wanted to give another reason, the ateres zahav. What did the ateres zahav want to say? Why is a katan no good if there's no gadol omed al gabav? The tam, the kevan da adayin lo higia l'chova shechita min ha-torah, ein shechita so shechita, d'chsiv v'zavachta, perusha misha hu metzuve kemoshi izbayar b'siman beis, ad kan l'shono. That Levush wanted to say, why is a katan no good if there's no gadol omed al gabav? Because he's an eino bar zvicha. He's like a goy. He's like a goy. The same way that a goy can't shecht, a katan can't shecht. So the shach screams, what are you talking about? How can you compare a katan to a goy? Ove kochavim eino metzuva la shchita. Avol katan metzuva. In other words, how can you compare? In other words, a katan's not allowed to eat treif. A katan's metzuva al hashchita. The goy is eino metzuva. In other words, the shach could have asked even a better question. If he's a goy, what good will a gadol omed al gabav do? If you have a goy shecht, the gadol omed al gabav isn't going to help. So if you compare them to a goy, why should a gadol omed al gabav help? But and again, you have, in other words, but so the question is this levush really so off the wall? You know, where it's a levush. You know, he's a rishon. How did he compare the katan to a goy? So what's the raya of the shach that a katan is not like a goy? Hare osur lo le'echol b'lo shchita. A katan is not allowed to eat treif. Is that true? That a katan is not allowed to eat treif?
Is it really the
Isra
on the parents? Not the
katan, he's a katan. He's a katan. He's not mitzvah in mitzvos. There's a din of chinuch. Chinuch is drabanan. Midrabanan, a katan is not allowed to eat treif. But, you know, where it's, and you know, where it's a midrabanan, a parent should stop his son from eating treif. But it's not a din d'oraisa. Where do we have a machlokas? Are you allowed to give a katan treifos? Are you allowed to give a katan? Can you put treifos into a katan's mouth? The answer is no. Is that the oraisa or drabanan? That's a machlokas rishonim. That's a machlokas rishonim. If you look over here, and if you have a Yad Avraham, he points out that osur lachilu biyadayim umetzuvim anachno shelo litein lo nevelos. There is a siman in Shulchan Aruch that deals with chinuch. You're aware, right? In Hilchos Shabbos. Most people never get to it because in Chelo Gimel of Hilchos Shabbos, that's where you start off with Dine Bishul and Hakzara, etc. You move over into Dine Muksa. Very, very, very dense. When you get to the very end, next to the last Siman, Din Katan B'Shabbos. So the Machaber Paskins, Katan Ochel Nevelos, Ein Bezdin Mitzuvin L'Hafrisho. Bezdin aren't Achra'i on Katanim. Aviv Mitzuvin Ligor Bo L'Hafrisho. That's the mitzvah of chinuch. However, l'ha'achilo b'yadayim, that is osir for everyone. On what level? Says the Mishnah Brura, this is Siman Shim Mem Gimel, Mishnah Brura Sifkot and Dalet, l'chol adam, afilu tinok eno bar havona klal, v'dovar ze osir min ha-Torah. And the Mishnah Brura brings three proofs. V'yalfina midichsiv b'shratzim lo sochlum, k'ro yeseira kibul chazal, it means lo ta'achilum. Chain bedam, kesiv kol mikem lo tochal dam. Kiblu derosh shalomar lo ta'achil ktanim. Tumas kohanim, amar v'amarta. Right? That you shouldn't lahazir gedolim ala ktanim. Hine, says the Mishnah Berurah, mishalosh mitzvos elu, anu melamdin, shebekol ha-Torah kula, kol yisurei Torah, osur l'ha'achilam o l'tzavosam she'yavru. You're not allowed to take the initiative and have the katan do an aveira. Okay? The question is there any age that the katan is not even called the katan? Right? Like to take a baby by the light switch and sort of hold him there until he'll bang and turn off the light or mashu. Lolinyan pashut. But, you know, yitachen that at some point he's simply not even a kata. That's the shita of the Bali HaTosos that the Mishnah Berurah over here quotes. He quotes it in the name of. He says, Onu Lemedim, Kein Pasku Kama Gedoli Harishonim. So that's Tosos. But the Rambam doesn't agree. Okay, you just know the Rambam holds that it's Drabanan. That just as the din of Chinuch is Drabanan, the din of not feeding is Drabanan. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Ma'acholos Asuros, Perik Yud Zayin, Halacha Kav Zayin. So in any case, the Ateres Zohav may have a point. Namely, the Levush may have a point. If we learn like the Rambam, namely that Mido Araisa, there's no Easter really for a katan to eat Nevelos, and Mido Araisa, there's no Easter for me to feed him Nevelos, so maybe he really is not Mitzuvah. Again, it hurts us to say that a katan's like a goy. But there could be such a Shita. The Shach yells at the Levush, Hari Osrlo Le'echol Belo Shchita. He means, doesn't mean, the Shach knew that, Chinuch's Drabanan. He says, but Tosas says that the Ha'achil, to feed him, is Do'oraisa. So we see that the Katan is Shayach in the world of mitzvos, mi Do'oraisa. Okay, so that's on one plane. Just you should be aware that there's a very, very, I'm sorry, you wanted to ask, Anna?
Even so, the Isser is not in the Katan, he's not here.
So there is, however, another approach to knock off the Ateres Zohav, and that's the approach that the Rav quoted in the name of Reb Chaim. That there is a Rambam, which he says twice. It's not just a mistake. The Rambam says it twice. Once in Hilchos Shgagos, Perek Tes. In Hilchos Shgagos, Perek Tes. Hilchos Shgagos is easy to find because it's the last part of Korbanos. So Perek Tes, Halacha Gimel. There's this world called Shifcha Harufa, this very exceptional woman who was a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Baschorin. She had two owners. One of them, the other one didn't free her. The Machlus Rishonim, who she is. Okay, let's take that approach. And then someone lives with this woman. So as a Shifcha, it's not the end of the world. As a Baschorin, we have over here, and then she was Mu'ureset. We're talking about a woman who's chatzi shivcha, chatzi baschorin, who's mu'reset to Yisrael. So someone else lives with this woman. The Torah says that she is loka, and that person brings a korban. And so the Rambam paskins ben teisha shanim v'yom echad, namely a katan sheba al shivcha charufa. He's old enough to do a ma'isa bia, but he's still a katan. He loka. She's overet and avera, v'hu mevi korban. And the Rambam continues, v'yirah alish eno mevi ad she yagdil v'yeben das. When he turns 13, he'll bring a korban on the act that he did when he was 9. The Rambam says, that's absurd. The katan that can't do averos, a katan is not chayev. He's not chayev in korbanos, in malkos, v'chule. And so what are you talking about? So the Reb Chaim wanted to explain that the Rambam is positing that the Maisa Avera of a Katan is a Maisa Avera. That you have to start off with. When a Katan does a Maisa Avera, it's a Maisa Avera. The Ptur of the Katan is a Ptur of Onesh. Katan, we don't make pay, and we don't make Malkos, and we don't give him Misa unless he's at Ben Sora or Mora on the borderline, etc. But classically, a Katan is Pater from Onshin. But his Maisa Avera is a Maisa Avera. Why over here would he bring the korban? Because shivcha charufa is one of these situations, the only situation in the entire Torah, where you have one punishment which is universal, irrelevant if you're a mezid, if you're a shogeg, if you're a gadol, if you're a katan. Under all circumstances, you're going to have to bring a korban. So that even the katan we go relate to. We say that a katan is patur is when we have one punishment for this one, another punishment. We say that a mezid is chayev and a shogeg is patur. So then the katan is patur. Namely, that when we have a gradating scale like we have by almost all averos, then we say a katan is patur from onesh. But when you deal with the universal onesh, then even the katan is going to be chayev. And Reb Chaim had a number of proofs for this approach. There's a Gemara that if a katan performs an act of, I think it's called bestiality, in other words, he lives with a behema, he's intimate with the behema, so we kill the behema. Why we kill the behemoth? In other words, kind of read the maisa avera of a katan is a maisa avera, that this animal was the victim of a maisa avera, and so we kill the animal. Or there's a gemara about a katan who, when he was young, was soref a shtar. He burnt a shtar, and I think it was Raphram. When he was young, he burnt a shtar, and when he got older, he decided to pay for it. And so the assumption was that he did a maisa avera. The maisa avera was actually there, and even in the Shulchan Aruch itself, you could learn that way. In that same siman of Chinuch, Shin Mem Gimel, the Mechaber ends as follows: Katan Shehika es Aviv. Now, had he been a gadol and he was makeh his father, that's capital punishment. Katan Shehika es Aviv. O Avar Shara Veros Bekat Nuso. Afal pi she'ein tzarech tshuva kishi yigdal, because he was a katan. Mikom akom tovro sheyikabel al atzmo eze dover l'tshuva chapara. Afal pi she'avar kodem shenase bar onshin. So what is this tovro? So most people say it's nice chumrah, you know, or it's to like clear up your past. But the Gro over there quotes the Sarif Shtaros, and he quotes the katan with bestiality. In other words, he quotes all these makoros, the kanereh yitachen, that there's a maisa avera. There's a ptur of onshim, there's a maisa avera. So clearly, then you can't compare a katan to a goy, right? In other words, that would certainly knock off the levush if we take the approach of Reb Chaim. If I'm not mistaken, the first shuva of Rav Moshe in Chelek Yoredeya, Chelek Aleph, Siman Aleph, deals with this issue. In other words, of a katan. Are the maisim of a katan, do they have any meaning halachically? Is there a concept of a maisa avera by a katan? Okay. Okay, let's just do one more ha'ara. Okay, so we have over here then that we have a tour who says that the shechita of a katan without a gadol amed al gabav is good b'di'evet. That is a very Shitas Yachid. It's basically rejected because there's no nemanas for the katan. To build it, l'chora, it would be built on the rov, you know, rov mitzvah of shechita, by building this double rov, which would only work out according to one side of the equation. The Levush wants to say that the reason we reject the tour is because the katan is not a bar zvicha. He wants to compare it to a goy. The Shach didn't like that, but it depends on a lot of factors. In terms of how we what isurim are there actually for a katan to eat things that are not kosher? Is it dinim doraisa, dinim drabanan? And certainly according to the approach of Reb Chaim, where the katan is his maisa avera, certainly that would knock off the levush. Then we just have a question: who is the katan? So Rama says, "Umikri katan yanze ad shenase bar mitzvah lahainu yudgimel shanim v'yom echad." That we have an age criteria. So the Pisrei Tshuva points out that this is not enough. Age is a factor when we have the age in combination with physical maturity, with Hevi Shtei Saros. When we're dealing with Dinim D'Rabbanan, so we assume that when a child is 13 years old, Chazaka D'Rabba, probably he's physically mature. So we allow a bar mitzvah boy at the age of 13 and a day to read his parasha. We allow him to daven for the amud. But if that bar mitzvah boy wants to be a baal tokeya, which is a din d'oraisa, someone has to check to be sure that he's physically mature. You can't be samach on a hazaka d'rabba. Shechita is a din d'oraisa. So we have to say that what the Rama means over here, katan shenase bar mitzvah yudgimol shanim v'yom echad v'hevishtei saros. In other words, that the Rama just wrote a shorthand, because l'chora, this is a classic din d'oraisa that requires physical maturity, and not just a chazaka, but actually physical maturity. Then the Rama continues, "Yesh machmirim shaliten kabal lamishu pachos mi ben yudches shana." Da'az gavra barda asuviyodei li zohir. What is this age of 18? So fascinatingly, if you had a chance to look in the Taz, with the source of this halacha is the Chai in the name of Eldad Hadani. Those of you who have a sense of Jewish history know that in the early Middle Ages, in the time of the Gaonim, an individual came claiming that he was from Shevet Dan, and he crossed the Sambat Yom. and he came to find his Jewish brothers, and he brought with him Sifrei Halacha, you know, it's orally. He knew Halacha, and many of the Halachos that he knew were very similar to our Halachos, but there were some differences. And the question was how to relate to this person. Is this a fairy tale or is this real? And this is a tshuva of the Gaonim. And they said, they checked him out. They say, he's for real. He's for real. And he brought what he called Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. Namely, Shevet Dan was taken into exile in the time of Bayis Rishon. They never went through. They never had a Purim. They never went through Bayis Sheni. Right? They didn't have any Zech L'Churba. They were taken into exile before all of this. And he claimed that these were the halacha. So he knew halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that there are five psulei shechita. In other words, halacha. He would say halacha Moshe Yoshua Mitzrayim. Right? In other words, that they had a whole nusach of the five. And according to them, it was possible to be a shochet. That's dealt with, but in other words, that we Paskin, a woman can be a shochet. Lo ra'inu, women generally not shochtim, but they can be. And there's no reason why not. She has kedushas Yisrael. She's chayav to eat kosher. It's not a mitzvah to say she has bat grama. Just that we don't find women being shochtim. It's not like smicha. Right? We don't find women being shochtim. And he said that a katan can't shecht until he's 18 years old. That's the source of the. However, even though we don't pass like that, right? We have our masoret, which is that a katan is 13, but it could very well be in this point by the Shach and the Taz that shechita requires a certain degree of maturity of decision making, right? You have to know how to relate to exactly what you're doing, control, etc. And there yitachen that until the age of 18, that level of maturity does not yet exist. And again, so it's more of an eitza tova. You know, it's to wait, not to deal with the karton, technically he could check, but to wait until he understands the gravity of mistakes in the world of shechita, etc. So theoretically, at the age of 13, he should already understand that. But lemaisa, if in America you can't vote until you're 18, right? In other words, they assume that's 18 or 21. 18. Okay. I think in my time it was 21. With our time?
Depends on the state.
Yeah.
Depends
on
the
state.
They change. Okay. If you're old enough to die for your country, you're old enough to vote, right? That was the question. Okay. So in Judaism, you know, you're old enough to die for your country at the age of 20. I mean, you know, it's Ben Esrim, you'd say Litzava. Okay. In Israel, though, the draft is at the age of 18. Modern day Israel. So in any case, so just be aware that these are the criteria of Katan. Okay.
This thing with the person from Dan, that was accepted by all Gaonim as authentic thing.
Yeah, in the base Medrash we have the Sefer Hilchos Eretz Yisrael of Eldad Adan.
Are there like academics that try to speculate and write?
Of course, you can't write your doctorate. So many doctorates we've written already on the topic, but it's fascinating. It's just a fascinating topic of the concept of. I mean, and nowadays that we beginning to see the B'nai Menashe. And then the Ethiopians claim that they are, you know, from Shevet Dan, and the B'nai Menashe are from India, and you know, it's so, you know, it's a low dvarim, you know, it's yesh dvarim bego that there are.
There's a Gemara that someone says, that's where they come from, Shevet Dan or something.
Whom?
Some Gemara brings if someone is judgmental from Shevet Dan and moves by the sea. So must be the Gemara knows something about people from Dan. I don't know. Is there a Gemara that says that?
Look, we know that among us there are people from different shvatim. Namely, Yirmiyahu went to gather back the 10 shvatim, and he brought some back. And so there's a Hasidic sefer called the B'nai Yisaskar. Why is it called the B'nai Yisaskar? That wasn't his name, right? The author. His name wasn't Yisachar. But I forget his name, what it was. But he was what?
Tzvi Elimelech,
right? Tzvi Elimelech. So how does Tzvi Elimelech write a sefer called the B'nai Yisaskar? So his rebbe was a Choza, and he was once traveling with the Choza, and he told the Choza that every year Hanukkah time he feels this unique hashras hashlina. So the Choza said, "Are you a Kohen? Like Hanukkah is Matis Yerakah?" He said, "I'm not a Kohen." So he says, "You're probably from Shevet Yisachar because Hanukkah is the Yom Tov of Torah." Torah Shebaal Peh, You know, so kind of you're from Bnei Yisachar, and that's why he called this sefer Bnei Yisachar, for that reason. So you know, the fact that we have Kohenim and Leviim, most of us are from Shevet Yehuda, but probably there are those from other Shvatim among us as well. That's one of the problems. You know, people tend to say that there's a Rambam. Certainly. Can I throw it to you? Okay. All right. In terms of demography, there's a Rambam that speaks about the fact that we no longer have Yovel because we don't have Rov of Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. And now, demographically, like within the next year or two, Emir Tzashem, there'll be more Jews in Eretz Yisrael than in the rest of the Gola, which would mean that theoretically you'd have Yovel, and then Shemitah would turn into a Doraisa. I mean, you know, the Heter Mechira would totally, totally disappear. But if you look in the Rambam, he says, V'kol Shevet Yoshev B'Mekomo. I mean, it's not enough that the rove of Jews be in Eretz Yisrael. You need that we have that sense of being in our place, that the Leviim will be in Arei HaLeviim and Shevet Yehuda. So that will, by time, require Mashiach, the way things are holding. Because all of a sudden, we find Sifra Yuchsin or Mashu Kazeh, and then you're going to have, you know, like, then Telstone, you know, only certain people will be able to live in Telstone. You know, everyone will have to find their Shevet belongs. And then if Rove of every Shevet is B'Mekomo, and Rove of Chai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, then Bemet Yovel will be Doraisa, we'll go back to the world of Eved Ivri, Ger Toshev, a lot of things will be a bit of a change.
Which tribe does the Ger attach himself to?
Excuse me?
Which tribe does the Ger attach himself to?
It's an excellent question. It's a very, very, he asked, what tribe does a Ger attach himself to? So the Ger basically is in the status of Yisrael, namely he's going to be a man without a physical country. He will relate to Klal Yisrael, but he's not going to have a Nachla. That was the answer to Dan, you know, to the Megadeth. The Megadeth was basically told by Shevet Dan, get out of our Shevet, you're not going to get Nachla with us. Namely, he's going to be a universal Jew. In other words, he can live, but he's not going to have a chelik of Eretz Yisrael unless it turns out there is a theory. The Kuzari says that in order to have the Tanya as well, right? But the Kuzari was the first one to say it, that a Jew has a different neshama than a non-Jew. So the question is, according to the Kuzari, how do you have a ger? I mean, you know, like you're born with a neshama. How does it go? So the reigning theory is that according to the Kuzari, really all the ger that we have nowadays are people finding their roots. Namely, at one time you had a Jew, and then that Jew married out, etc. But that Jewish link continued and continued, and this is an individual who's simply returning to his roots and returning. He had the neshama all along. The neshama was simply floating among non-Jews, and now it's come back. And so then, if that's the case, so they would have the nachala of whatever shevet he originally belonged to. That's simply that this was like literally a lost soul for a number of generations, and then the soul found its way back. Very, very fascinating. Okay. No, sorry, it's the wrong story. Okay, but it's a very good question. In other words, Tishbi Yitari, maybe, I mean, we know that, I mean, look, the Gerim are certainly on a much higher level than all of us. It's a very beautiful story of Rav Avraham Hager, that in the time of the Gra, there was a well-known Ger Tzedek, and he was burnt at the stake, he was a son of royalty, and he was burnt at the stake for his Gerus. And the story goes, the night before he was burnt at the stake, the Gra visited him, and he told the Gra that, I feel lonely, that in the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, everyone is going to reunite with their parents and grandparents, and I'm going to be all alone. I don't have any yichus. So that's why I feel bad about dying. I'm not going to. So the Gra said, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he will be your father and he will be your mother, namely that you're going to be directly with him. So it could be that if you look and say for Yechezkel, the way that the tribes are set up, B'Yemos HaMashiach, there is a large area that belonged to the king. The Nasi, the king, had a large area in the center. So we tend to think about it, well, he would have a lot of land, then he'd be very wealthy, and he'd have all sorts of people working on his land. Maybe that's where the Gerim would be, is close, like right around the Beis HaMikdash. That's where they would be, in that area belonging to the Nasi. That could very well be. Who knows? Okay, Yemir Tzashem, we should all know. Yemir Tzashem? Hey, Rabbi Yemenu. Okay, so we have Yemir Tzashem two. We have Shir Yemir Tzashem on Thursday. And then the following Thursday. And then the following Monday?
No, because Monday there's no Shir?
Next Monday is Rosh Hashanah. All right. So next year will be a week from today. Today is Monday. I'm sorry. We have Shir this Thursday. And a week from Thursday. The following Yom Kippur comes out on Wednesday. So last year that went on Monday.
Yes.
All right. So we still have three more Shiurim. That makes sense. Okay. We have three more Shiurim. Okay, so for Shir, sorry, just trying to think in advance. It's very difficult. I can't think about the past, can't think about the future. Okay. Beseder, it's one of those moods that one's in before Rosh Hashanah. So the Marim HaKamos are on the topic of Mumar. Mumar L'Teyavon, Mumar L'Hachis.
A little bit.
We spoke last time about someone who is Memir Dato, someone who converts, someone who loses it all. But in terms of someone a mumar, in other words, we did the mumar davar echad.